Good morning, and let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the redemptive work of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. May your Holy Spirit fill each brother and sister this morning, and may your Holy Spirit help me give a clear message from Romans 6:20-23 this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have a Bible, please open up your Bible to Romans chapter 6 with me. And I'll be covering Romans 6:20-23 this morning. The title of my message is Transformation from Slaves of Sin to Slaves of God. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Romans 6:20-23. I read, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." In these four verses, the Apostle Paul contrasted between the differences before and after someone became a believer. Verses 1 was a slave of sin before and now a slave of God. Second one bore the fruit of sinful things before, now bears the fruit to holiness. Third, the end of the sinful things is death. But now the end of holiness is everlasting life. Paul sums up in verse 23, the last verse of this passage, that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. My two divisions of this passage are division 1, verses 20-21. Believers were once slaves of sin, which leads to death. And division 2, verses 22-23, believers are now slaves of God, who gives life. Division 1, verses 20-21 of Romans 6, believers were once slaves of sin, which leads to death. I read again verse 24. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard of righteousness. The Apostle Paul used the metaphor of slavery to explain to his readers, the Roman believers, about their relationship with sin before they became believers in Jesus Christ, and their relation with God after they believed. His readers, the Roman believers, would understand the metaphor because slavery was common in the Roman Empire at around AD 57. And it was estimated that 10 to 20% of people living in the Roman Empire were slaves. Therefore, 1 to 2 people out of every 10 were slaves. A slave would be owned by his or her master, the owner, and a slave would work for and obey his or her master. Believers before they became believers in Jesus Christ were slaves of sin. Being slaves of sin, they were under the bondage and control of their sins, their master. Sin and righteousness are not compatible. They are contrary to each other. Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 5:16-17 I read. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Or the NIV translation, they are in conflict with each other, and that you are not to do whatever you want. Unbelievers, being slaves of sin, are free from the control of righteousness. That's from NIV translation. Righteousness refers to God's moral law and way. Although Paul wrote this epistle to the Roman believers, this passage applies to us believers and reminds us of our former selves prior to believing in Jesus Christ. We were slaves of sin and had no regard for God's moral standard and way. The Apostle John in 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 16, warns believers in Jesus Christ, do not love the world and the things in the world. I read 1 John 2, 15 to 16. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. It is the love of the world and the things in the world that leads to sin. The world and the things in the world appeal to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. All that is in the world is not of God, but is of the world. Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2, 1-3, reminds us believers that before we became believers, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2, 1-3. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. It is God who made believers alive. Before believing, believers were unbelievers, and we were dead in trespasses and sins. Death is spiritual death from a broken relationship with God because of the trespasses and sins against God's holy and perfect moral law and standard. Unbelievers follow the way of this world, follow the lifestyles of other unbelievers, and follow the ruler and of the kingdom of the air, and that is Satan. Satan is the ruler of the world. The spirit here in this passage with the lowercase works in the sons of disobedience, i.e. unbelievers, refers to the force of Satan tempting unbelievers to yield to the lust of the desires of the flesh, the human sinful nature, and of the mind, the sinful thoughts of human. Believers before believing in Jesus Christ were slaves to sin, under the bondage and control of sin, enticed by the lust of the flesh and the mind, to do what other believers do in the world, and have no regards in God's holy moral standard and way. Verse 21. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Believers are now ashamed of those things that we once did, and referring to true repentance from those things we once did. Because we realize now those things were wrong. Repentance and faith go together for a true believer. Belief in Jesus Christ without repentance is not true saving faith. Repentance is turning around from sins, turning 180 degrees around to worship and obey the one true God. Salvation is found by turning around from sins and turning to Jesus Christ. Paul in Galatians 5:19 to 21 lists the works of the flesh, those things that unbelievers do, and as believers we are now ashamed of. The list in Galatians 5:19 to 21 is not a comprehensive list, as the list ended the term and the like, i.e. etc. I read Galatians 5:19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The works of the flesh are sins, yielding to the lust and the sinful things or sinful nature of the flesh. Those things, the works of the flesh, may give temporary pleasure or satisfaction, but they do not offer lasting satisfaction. Sexual sins appeal to the desires for temporary sensual pleasures of the flesh. The sins of hatred, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, envy, and rivalries appeal to the prideful and self-centeredness nature of the flesh. Sins lead to destruction and hurt, not only to self, but also others. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, and the end of those things is death. And death here refers to eternal condemnation or punishment and eternal separation from the presence of God. I read Matthew 25:46, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteousness into eternal life. 2 Thessalonians 1:8-10a, and I read from NIV translation. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. Believers are ashamed of those things that we once did as unbelievers, but believers do not need to live under the burden of sin, shame, and guilt, because God has forgiven believers our sins. 1 John 1:9, which is my favorite verse, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus took our sin, shame, and guilt away when he died a shameful death as a criminal on the cross. Although he was and is without sin, he rose from the dead on the third day, victorious over sin, death, and shame in the power of Satan to free us from the burden of sin, shame, and guilt. Through faith in Jesus Christ, God has removed our transgressions, our sins, as far as the east is from the west, and has washed our sins as clean and as white as snow and wool. Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Isaiah 1:18b. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be as wool. Believers were once slaves of sin, under the bondage of sins, and had no regard for God's righteousness. But believers repented from a sinful past, and now ashamed of those things who once did in the past. The end of those things, of sinful things, is death, eternal punishment, and separation from the presence of God. Believers are now made alive by God through faith in Jesus Christ, with their sins forgiven, and do not need to live under the bondage of sin, shame, and guilt. The principle of this division is, believers are ashamed of those things they once did, but believers do not need to live under the burden of sin, shame, and guilt, because God has forgiven all the sins of believers. We now go to division 2. Romans 6:22-23. The summary is, believers are now slaves of God, which leads to life. I read verse 22 again. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. The Apostle Paul started verse 22 in this verse with but, switching to the way of life of a believer now. By God's grace, believers have now been set free from sin and are no longer slaves of sin, but are slaves of God. Romans 6:18, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Believers in Jesus Christ are slaves of righteousness, slaves of Jesus Christ, the only righteous ones, as Jesus Christ is fully God. Romans 3:21-25a, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and prophets, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ to all and all on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. The righteousness of God, that is Jesus Christ, is now revealed to mankind. Jesus Christ is holy and righteous because he is God. Jesus came as a human, in flesh became man, to reveal the invisible holy God, God's glory and the attributes and character of God to mankind. The law and the prophets of the Old Testament testify to this, that Jesus is God, the Messiah. The law refers to the first five books of the Old Testament, and the prophets refer to the other Old Testament books. There's no difference. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Although all have sinned, but all who believe in Jesus Christ have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:13-14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. In Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Redemption was the term used in the slave market, again, in the ancient world, where slaves were bought and sold. In the Old Testament and in the ancient Israel, both property and life can be redeemed or purchased back by making the appropriate payment. If a man lost his inheritance or sold himself into slavery, he and his property could be redeemed by one near of kin, i.e. a close relative, by paying the redemption price. Jesus Christ came in human flesh, born of a virgin, is our Redeemer. He went willingly to the cross to die and paid for sin's price in full, to purchase us back and free us from the slavery and bondage of sin. He died and shed his precious blood on the cross for the forgiveness of all who believe. Hebrews 9:22, I read from the NIV translation. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. 1 John 4:9-10, in this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son in the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as to be the propitiation for our sins. And 1 John 4:19, we love him, that is God, because he first loved us. It is God who first loved us and sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to be the propitiation for our sins, and that is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. He shed his precious blood on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. As believers, we willingly submit to Jesus Christ as the Lord and Master and Savior, because he is the loving Master. He willingly gave himself for us because he first loved us. As believers in Jesus Christ, at the time when we repented of our sins and believe in Jesus Christ, we receive the gift of everlasting life and also the gift of a new spiritual life with the Holy Spirit indwelling in each believer. Everlasting life is not just living forever and ever, but spending eternity in the presence of God, in his glory, where there will be no more sorrow, no crying, no pain, no tears. Revelation 21:1-4. This is the assured hope of all believers, because we can trust in the faithfulness of God and in his promises. If you are a believer, you have everlasting life. You also have a new spiritual life because you are born again spiritually with God's Holy Spirit indwelling in you. In Ephesians 1:13-14, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I want to note that you were sealed is the past tense. As soon as you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. Romans 8:9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. If anyone does not have the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, he or she is not his, not belonging to Jesus Christ. Therefore, if you are a believer, you can be assured that you have the Holy Spirit in you. And by the power of the Holy Spirit in you, in each believer lives a new spiritual life and bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:23, I read, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." The fruit of the Spirit, or the fruit of holiness, is contrary to the works of the flesh. If you show love, you will not hate. If you have self-control, you will not have outbursts of wrath or anger or be intoxicated in the mind. If you have kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness in your heart, you should not have selfish ambitions, jealousies, or envy in your heart. The Holy Spirit dwells in the heart of each believer and works in each believer to continually sanctify each believer, i.e. to conform each believer to be more Christ-like, stage by stage. Romans 8:29, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." God is all-knowing. He foreknew all who believe in Jesus Christ. Believers identify themselves with Christ, die to sin, and raised to a new spiritual life with the Holy Spirit continually conforming each believer to the image of Christ. And we practice water baptism or water immersion baptism at Heather Bible Chapel here. And the water immersion baptism is the identification of a believer with Christ, that a believer died to sin, immersion underwater, because Christ died for our sins and rise to a new spiritual life led by the Holy Spirit coming out of the water as Christ rose from the dead on the third day, died for our sins. Water immersion baptism is the public declaration of the inner conversion, inner faith of a believer that has already taken place. Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the third day, not to die again. He is the firstborn, the first one among all believers to be raised from the dead, not to die again. And all believers alive or asleep, describing the temporary state of being dead, will be raised to be with the Lord forever one day, as promised by our Lord Jesus Christ. Reference here is 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17, and I read, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words." The last verse of the passage today is 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." As human beings, we have inherited the sinful nature from Adam and Eve. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 3:23. The wages of sin is death. Consequence of sin is death. Eternal condemnation, suffering and separation from the presence of God. And this is the bad news. Bad news to mankind. But the good news is the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Spending eternity in the presence of God, enjoying the glory and love of God forever. Salvation is a free gift and not earned by doing good deeds. Salvation is through faith, believing in Jesus Christ, who came as a man in flesh and died to redeem us from the slavery of sin and die as the propitiation, atoning sacrifice for our sins. Our sins have been forgiven by the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. As believers, we ought not to sin, but live and walk in the Spirit as we continue being sanctified by the Spirit to be more Christ-like stage by stage. Galatians 5:24-25. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Believers live and walk in the Spirit with the Holy Spirit helping each believer recognize and overcome sins in daily life. The principle here is, it is by God's grace believers receive the gift of everlasting life and the gift of Holy Spirit by believing in Jesus Christ alone. In summary, the Apostle Paul reminds believers that we were all once slaves of sin. Slaves of sin bear the fruit of the flesh and do the works of the flesh, driven by the love of the world and the things of the world. Believers now are ashamed of those things we once did. But believers do not need to live under the burden of sin, shame, and guilt because God has forgiven the sins of believers. Believers are no longer slaves of sin, but slaves of God. Slaves of God bear the fruit to holiness, the fruit of the Spirit. Believers are being sanctified by the Holy Spirit to be more and more Christ-like. And the end is everlasting life. God is well aware that believers still struggle between their sinful nature and the Holy Spirit in us. That is why this Spirit-inspired passage written by Paul is included in the Bible, to remind believers that we are now slaves of God, no longer slaves of sin. The flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. They are contrary to one another. As believers, we ought not to sin. And if and when the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sinful desires and thoughts of the flesh, we ought to say no to these desires and thoughts. The Holy Spirit works within a believer to recognize and to overcome sin in daily life. The message from Carl Patel on July 23rd reminded us that believers, we are absolutely not to continue to sin. Absolutely not. So be reminded that as believers, we have repented, turned away from, and are now ashamed of those things we once did. Those things do not give everlasting satisfactions and leads to death. Believers are now slaves of God, serving our loving Master who first loved us and gave himself for us, so that all who believe will receive the gift of everlasting life and the gift of a transformed spiritual life with the Holy Spirit indwelling in each believer, conforming each believer to be more Christ-like. Jesus is the ultimate example and model for us. Not only he is the only perfect man, never sinned, but he understands how we feel and knows what we go through because he is fully man, 100% man, born as a human by a woman. Jesus was tempted as a man when he was vulnerable to the desires of his flesh after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. You can read that from Matthew 4, 1 to 11. Yet he never sinned. He was totally committed to follow God the Father's will and did not yield to the temptation of Satan, the prince of the world. Even when we are convicted by the Holy Spirit of our sinful desires and thoughts, we ought not to sin, ought to turn to our Lord in prayers and ask His Holy Spirit to help us overcome and resist temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may able to bear it. Believers are transformed from slaves of sin to slaves of God. Recently, my wife Tammy, many of you know, and I were scammed. A friend of my wife's email account was hacked, and someone impersonated this friend of my wife and asked my wife's help to send an Amazon gift card to her friend who had cancer, came to have cancer for her birthday because she had some issues with her Amazon account. Without suspecting anything, we fell for the scam. Later, the scammer came back with a third request asking us to send another gift card to herself, and we finally got suspicious. My wife phoned her friend, and they were away traveling, and obviously the imposter knew what he or she was doing. Although I was upset because we were scammed, I told myself I ought not to be angry and ought not to blame others. The Lord allowed this to happen for some reasons, and we should have checked the source before doing anything, i.e. calling her friend to verify that this is indeed her request. I reported the scam to the credit card company and also to Amazon the same day. I don't know if they can do anything. The reason I share this incident with you today is for two reasons. First, you would not fall for the similar scam. Second, is to remind us that if or when we run into something unexpected that upsets you or us, we ought not to sin, not to be angry, and not to blame others. As believers, we will still struggle with our sinful nature. Praise God that He has given each believer His Holy Spirit at the request of our Lord Jesus Christ to help each believer recognize and overcome sin in daily life. Let us be encouraged that who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. As God is greater than Satan in the world, and God the Holy Spirit dwells in you if you are a believer. If you are not a believer yet, you can switch from a slave of sin to a slave of God and receive the gift of everlasting life and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Have you been transformed from slaves of sin to slaves of God? Be transformed today. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your amazing grace that through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, we receive the gift of everlasting life and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that as believers we were once slaves of sin, but now we're slaves of God, a loving master, and the end is everlasting life. Thank you that we are to bear the fruit as believers of the Spirit and love as, and live a transformed life now on earth, walking in the truth and in the Spirit. We pray that if there's anyone among us who has not believed in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today, will do so and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and repent from the sinful past. May the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to be with us all. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.